Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. My name is Alyssa. And I'm joined in studio today by Tim Aritz and Allison Cole.
Hello.
Today is Friday, October 19th, 2012. And of course, you're listening to CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's co-op radio. This is Animal Voices. Animal Voices is Western Canada's only program dedicated solely to animal advocacy and compassionate living. We at Animal Voices encourage the movement toward a world in which animals live free from exploitation and harm. On today's show, we'll cover news and events as usual. We'll also be talking to an outstanding leafleter who's in town as part of the annual Vegan Outreach College Blitz. Later in the show, we learn about the Animal Liberation Forum happening in California in November, just less than a month from now. The event itself costs a whole big $0, and we're really hoping to inspire people to make the trek down south in about 1 month's time. Did you do anything amazing or animal-related or vegan or do any outreach events and stuff this week, Allison?
No, I didn't. No. Well, okay, let me think. I'm always doing stuff. You know, I actually kind of always look during the week like, oh, what could I talk about on the show this week? Did I, looking at my schedule, seeing what I did. There's always the food outreach. I'm always making delicious food items, as you know, and trying to feed people. Yeah, I don't know. Nothing really, though. Just working a lot. Sorry, got nothing.
That's okay. I didn't really do too much either, but I did actually go through our Thanksgiving potluck. We had a sound recording, so I kind of worked on editing a bit of that, and that was really fun. And today, I'm really pleased to be sharing one of my favorite songs from that event. It was a song from Robin Rebecca. She did an awesome sort of anarchist anthem, and we're going to play that at about the halfway point in the show, and I'm really excited to share that song today. So yeah, that's about what I did, but I can't think of anything else.
It seems like we're always, well, I know, I think you too, I'm always doing stuff, and then this is like the 1 week it's been kind of dull. I've actually just been trying to recover from the potluck.
Oh yeah.
It was an enormous amount of work, enormous amount of planning and organizing. I really needed recovery last week, like sleeping in 3 days in a row kind of thing. So not as much time for the animals as usual, and very grateful that you produced the show for this week because, yeah, I really needed a break. So
totally.
I guess we need to recharge ourselves at times, so that's something that we need to think about is, well, people like me certainly just going into overdrive and just work, and it's all for a good cause, but I think it's also very important to have that balance and to take the time off as needed to just rejuvenate and recuperate.
Yeah, important words. Thanks for sharing. Do you have an event to share with
us? Yeah, for sure. So I've got a couple minutes here. So on Sunday, November the 11th, the UBC Activists for Animals Club is hosting a field trip to two animal sanctuaries that are happening in Mission, BC. So they'll be going to the Hearts and Noses Pig Sanctuary, which, have you been there before, Alyssa?
Actually, I'm planning a trip on November 3rd, Saturday.
That's right! What?
When is this group going?
November 11th.
Oh, awesome.
I had forgotten about that because you invited me to that, and I said I would let you know sooner. I want to do that. Okay. Well, anyways, I can't do this trip, the November 11th, because I work that day. It's Remembrance Day. But they're going to the Hearts and Noses Pig Sanctuary, who we've had Janice, the proprietor of that sanctuary, on the show before. It's a wonderful pig sanctuary, and I actually support them every month with a monthly donation. I have a pig named Pearl, who I sponsor. And then they're also going to Saints Sanctuary, which is also in Mission, and that's a sanctuary for senior and special needs animals. And that's always interested me. I would definitely like to check that out, but I can't make this event. I hope they do it at another time. I like these kind of organized events and like what you're doing the week before as well. So right now they're looking for people who can carpool to drive others in the group to Mission. Mission's about 2 hours away from Vancouver. They'll be leaving in the morning from Vancouver, then visiting the two sanctuaries in Mission from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sounds like a good visit. And then on the way back to Vancouver, they'll be stopping off at Chomp Vegan Eatery in Port Moody for dinner.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds like a fun day. I'd like to do it. So anyways, I said I would promote this on the show. And if you're interested in this, It is the UBC Activists for Animals Club that is hosting this, and you don't need to be a UBC student to attend. You just need to be a member, and anyone can join. Membership's only $2. So to find out more about this and to RSVP, and if you can offer a ride or you just want to go, I recommend you going to their Facebook group, which is called UBC Activists for Animals. And as I said, you must be a member of their society to join, but it's only $2. It's worth it. Sounds like a lot of fun. Sunday, November the 11th. And do I have time? No, I don't. That's it.
You can tell us later, though.
Okay.
I have just one event this week that is really super important. It is Co-op Week in Canada. I bet maybe you knew or did not know that. It's October 14th to the 20th, so tomorrow's the last day of Co-op Week in Canada. And 2012, as you may or may not know, is the International Year of Cooperatives. And that's a really good time to mention that it is Co-op Radio's annual membership drive, semi-annual, I guess, and we are asking again for your help. We need you to step up now to support the work that we do on this show. The number is 604-684-8494. Can you call us now and help us out? We really need your help. No amount is too small. That's the thing with giving to Co-op Radio. It's you can really choose any amount you want. You can make a one-time donation. You can choose an annual membership. You can choose a monthly sustaining membership. That's the way I go. So what it is every show on Co-op Radio has goals that they're given by the station, fundraising goals. And our goal is $1,000 this year. Our goal for this show today is $200. And we really need people to step up for that. It is a registered charity, so you do get a tax receipt for donations. Of course, Co-op Radio is 100% community sponsored. This is the people's radio. There are no corporate interests invested in this company, and we don't have to answer to the advertisers. I was in the car with my mom and my grandma recently, and we were flicking through the radio stations, and my grandma said, oh, don't stop on Co-op Radio, not that station. I don't like
what?
It. It's always such weird music, and they're always asking for money. And I said, well, you know, Grandma, do you like PBS? Because I know that's her favorite TV show. I
said, so she can relate to that.
Yeah,
then.
Sometimes we need to ask for help, and that's what we're doing, and we only do that for about...
Did she know you work for Co-op Radio?
You know what?
As a volunteer?
I think it might have slipped her mind, because I got really kind of defensive. And I
don't
said,
listen,
you know,
to that.
Not every show
station.
Is for every person, but yeah, you, there's different shows, and I know there's certain shows she would like. You kind of have to get to know what shows are on at what time and that kind of thing. There's just so much variety, and that I see as an awesome benefit and a draw of the station. So again, I will remind you, there are volunteers on the line right now. We need your help. 604-684-8494. And I think we have some news now.
Oh, yes. I found some very interesting news reported by the Washington Post. They cited a study by the Department of Agriculture in the States that Americans are eating less and less meat. And it's really a quite sharp decline. The Department of Agriculture projects that Americans are eating 12% less meat in 2012 than they did in 2007. And they observe that it's a long-term trend. Beef consumption has been in decline for about 20 years, and even in poultry, there's quite a drop. And even pork, which are pigs, as we know, Americans love to eat in an insane way, even that is on the decline.
And
so
Canadians.
I think that is quite good. Also, the meat industry blames high prices and high gas prices for this development, but I think it's pretty clear that also other reasons, environmental reasons, and I think in general an ethical awakening is a part of that.
Yeah. So I wonder if the numbers are similar in Canada. Probably, I would imagine. And I did also see another article that kind of went along with that, sort of showing that China's meat consumption has gone way up. And apparently they eat double as much animals as the U.S.
per capita or for as a general population?
Because they have a huge person.
Per capita.
Said, like, per capita.
I believe it.
Wow.
Yeah, and they just keep sort of going up there. So I don't know, some work to be done there.
Luxembourg is actually a heavy meat-eating nation, too, per capita, which always sort of surprises me, because it's such a tiny little nation, so you wouldn't, I don't know, you wouldn't really expect just like this one little blip on the planet happens to eat a lot of meat.
Well, I have been in Luxembourg, and I have found some really great vegan restaurants there as well, so it's not all
this.
That's
awesome to hear.
But in other news that kind of relates to that, which is a sad news, that opposed to this trend of meat consumption, fur is kind of on a comeback, and especially in Asia, where with China getting wealthier and wealthier, people are looking for luxury goods to a display, so they are going back to fur. And the campaigns, the strong anti-fur campaigns from the 1980s and 90s, as we have seen here, I think many people still have this in their mind here in Western countries. But in Asia, this it's not so pronounced. So fur is really seen as a luxury good, and so the industry goes to promote it there and maybe in South America rather than here. And I think that's kind of a disturbing trend. And I think it's also important to see that veganism is about everything, every lifestyle aspect, and not just eating. I think maybe it's a bit too often promoted as just a healthy diet. I think we ourselves might be guilty of doing that from time to time, but it's really about more than what you eat and more about everything that you do.
Thank you for that. And I just wanted to quickly mention one other point. The aquarium is now planning further expansion beyond Stanley Park. The shipyard near Lonsdale Quay in North Van is seeking feedback about the location and about those plans. So we are asking people to please contact North Vancouver's mayor, that's Daryl Musato, at dmusato, that's dmusatto, at cnv.org, and politely ask that the city redevelop without the exploitation of marine animals. And now we have with us a very special guest who's in town just for a little while. I will let him introduce himself. Hi, John. Can you tell us what you're doing in Vancouver?
Hello, Allison.
Hi.
It's Alyssa.
Well, it's Alyssa and Allison, actually.
Oh, Alyssa. Okay, I'm sorry.
Sorry, our names are so similar. You're not the first person to do that.
All right, cool. Very nice to meet you, and thank you for having me on the show.
And you're at UBC today, which is awesome.
Yeah, I'm currently at University of British Columbia with some members of Liberation BC. We've been here since about 8 in the morning, and we've already reached over 3,000 students.
Just today?
So
you've given out leaflets.
For outreach.
You've given out leaflets to did you say 3,000?
Yeah, we have reached 3,000 people.
Fantastic.
In the last few hours.
Fantastic.
So,
wow. So that's just...
It's a good day for outreach here in BC.
And this is the tail end of your visit here to Vancouver, is that right?
Hello, hello.
Hello?
I don't think he can hear me.
I'm losing you for a second. Are you there?
I don't think he can hear me.
You're right, sorry.
Can you
go
hear
ahead.
Me now, John?
Hello? I can hear you now.
Okay, good. Sorry. So this is the tail end of your visit to Vancouver. Is that right? Can you tell us about what you're doing here in BC?
Correct. Yeah. I work for a group called Vegan Outreach. We're based out of Tucson, Arizona, and we do outreach at college campuses all throughout North America. And I am one of a handful or so of regional coordinators, and I'm currently on a tour through about 12 U.S. states and the province of British Columbia, and I'm doing about 2 weeks of outreach here in the Vancouver region. Today is my last day in Vancouver proper, and then on Monday and Tuesday I'll be on Vancouver Island, hitting Nanaimo and Victoria, and then I'll be heading back to the States.
Wow, awesome. What a journey. So you've been doing that kind of work for a while. Can you tell us about your history doing that and what brought you to leafleting?
Yeah, definitely. So I've been volunteering with Vegan Outreach for about 2.5 years, and I was recently hired over the summer, and this is my first actual tour as a staff member of Vegan Outreach. And so when I started getting involved with activism about 3 years ago, I did a variety of things, you know, demos, protests, letter writing, those kinds of nature, you know, those kinds of things. And what really struck me as feeling like it was most effective and what was probably the best use of my time was leafletting. And so I did some further research, and I read an essay called A Meaningful Life, written by Matt Ball. And that really changed my perception on effective activism. And I realized, hey, you know what, if I'm going to dedicate my, you know, my limited time and resources into doing something, I should do what I think can help the most amount of animals. So I was really convinced from that point on that leafletting is probably the best use of my time. So I volunteered for quite a while, and stars aligned earlier in the year, and I was able to get on board full time. And now I'm going to college campuses throughout North America, participating in leafletting. So leafletting is what Vegan Outreach does. So we take it's very simple work. It's we take a box of pamphlets that talk about how animals are treated on factory farms, and we distribute to students, and we find this to be really effective work in terms of creating awareness and creating new vegetarians. We are always hearing from people who say, hey, I got a booklet from you guys last semester. I've been vegetarian ever since. So it's really, really effective, and that is our primary focus. And we've been doing this since about 1993, and basically every year since then we've been increasing our numbers. And this semester alone, so about the month, last month and a half, we've already handed out over 550,000 booklets.
Wow.
And that number is only set to increase. And we rely heavily on volunteers to make this happen as well.
Amazing. So can you just tell us a bit about the actual leaflets themselves? Like, what are you handing out? What are they like?
Definitely. We hand out a 16-page brochure. It is basically four, you know, 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper folded in half, and it's full color page, and it goes into in depth about how animals are treated in factory farms for about the first 11 pages, and the last 5 pages kind of are meant to empower the person reading about this and promotes vegetarian eating and lists products and resources and tips. And then we also have a guide to cruelty-free eating, which is kind of like a sister booklet for those who are pretty interested in the idea of, you know, reducing their meat consumption. We have a variety of, we have a few different booklets that we do hand out. One we primarily hand out on college campuses, the cover says, even if you like meat, you can help end this cruelty by just cutting your meat consumption in half. You can reduce, or you can help save dozens of animals every year. We feel a meat reduction approach is a very reasonable approach for college students. And the reason we're targeting college students is because they are the most likely to probably to change. They're at a time in their life where they're trying new things. They're questioning the status quo. Many of them are living on their own, so they're able to buy and cook their own food. So, and they have many years of purchasing power in front of them. So we find this to be the ideal demographic. And fortunately, with college campuses, we're able to reach many, many students in just a small amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of like stats associated with that? Like, how many, you know, end up in the garbage, or how do you know that this is working?
Yeah, well, with this kind of work, it's very, very difficult to get quantitative data. But what I can tell you is that we find this work to be very effective based on the feedback we hear from people. It's just about every day we're hearing from people across the country and across North America, I should say, that have been impacted by these booklets. And every day I'm leafletting, I hear from people who are impacted. At North Dakota State, for example, which is an ag school, I had a girl come back up to me a couple of hours after I leafletted her and said, hey, I was reading this in class, and I started crying. And this is a girl who is, you know, in one of the most ag-friendly schools in the country. So, you know, we definitely find this to be very effective, and, you know, I think it's safe to say that we wouldn't be participating in this work at such a massive scale if we didn't find it to be very effective work. And there are people who, you know, of course, aren't open to the message, but instead of concentrating on the few that are not receptive, we like to concentrate on the many that are. Consistently, 97% of people across the across the board, you know, oppose animal cruelty. So this is an idea that is, you know, very open to, or that anybody will be open to, any of the 97% that, you know, oppose animal cruelty. I think definitely have open hearts and open minds. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to, you know, plant seeds and make those seeds grow into hopefully future vegetarians and future vegans.
Makes sense to me. Awesome. So if people want to get involved with leafleting or help vegan outreach, how can they do that?
Yeah, so basically, if you live in North America, there's either a stationed regional coordinator in your area, or there's a traveling leafletter that comes through and hits your area. For example, if you live in Vancouver, I'm here for a couple of weeks. So, you know, next week I'll be in Oregon, the following week I'll be in Utah. So we have people that go across this country, and if you are interested in leafletting, just send Vegan Outreach an email, and just, you know, our contact form is on the website, and we would love to get in contact with you and help you leaflet, show you some tips. And of course, if you want to do this outreach on your own, again, just contact Vegan Outreach, and we will ship you booklets to your home. And if you take those booklets, go to a college campus or high school and distribute them, and then report your numbers. You'll find that the vegan outreach community is a very friendly and very like-minded community, and you know, I think you'll find this work to be very, very rewarding. And vegan outreach would love to make that happen.
And that's a great thing to remember, is that you can do this work in just an hour or two a week, or whatever time you have. You can just say, I'm going to do an hour to college, and put in that time, and then it can have such a powerful effect. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. I would say, you know, we all have very limited time and resources. You know, many of us have full-time jobs, many of us go to school full-time, many of us are even doing both. And, you know, hey, you don't have to go spend 40 hours a week at school doing this. Just in the 1 or 2 hours of your time, you can make a huge impact. For example, Mary Chris Staples, a board member of Liberation BC, she joined me this morning before work. So from about 8 till 9:30, she was out here doing outreach. And in that time period, she reached 550 students.
Wow.
Who otherwise wouldn't have known about the treatment of today's farmed animals. So it's really amazing that the impact that one person can have in just a few hours.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your hard work. I don't know really how you find the energy to do that full time, but kudos to you and keep on it. And yeah, we'll put links on our website to Vegan Outreach and help people get involved. Thanks for your time today, John.
Thanks, John.
Thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to speak about the work that Vegan Outreach does.
You're welcome. And Allison, I think, has some events for us.
Yeah, you are listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio on CFRO 100.5 FM. Just wanted to mention that. So I do have some more events. This is a fundraiser event that's coming up in November, actually, but I wanted to give a lot of notice for it. So on Friday,
to
November...
To enter a new destination number,
Tim,
press 1. To redial the last number...
Okay, moving on. Trying to train the new person here. Okay, so on Friday, November the 23rd at 7 o'clock p.m., Vancouver Meatless Meetup will be presenting another fundraiser dinner. They held one earlier this year. It was at Pokong Vegetarian Restaurant, which is located at 1334 Kingsway in Vancouver. And we had a really successful dinner there. That was in July, and that was a fundraiser for the Vancouver Humane Society. And I think it was about $500 that was raised for this dinner. So what it is you come to this dinner at this vegetarian Chinese restaurant. We had 99 people there last time, and you pay a fairly decent price that has an additional donation attached onto it. And you eat a feast of vegan Chinese food. You go home with a full stomach, and also having helped out a charity. So this time we're doing it for the MS Society, and that's the Multiple Sclerosis Society of BC. And that's just a way to support some human animals instead of always non-human animals, as we're doing here on the show. But, you know, just because we care about our non-human animals doesn't mean we don't care about human animals as well, right? So there is a really good menu set up it's a preset menu for this dinner, and I'm just going to read off what some of the menu items are. We've got turnip cakes, wonton soup, a deluxe colorful mixed vegetable, spicy green beans, fresh enoki mushroom and spinach chow mein, tasty breaded shiitake mushrooms, bean curd skin rolls and black bean sauce, or orange cutlets, vegetarian steak with black pepper sauce, ginger fried gailan and yu choy, and steamed rice. Sounds good? Convinced yet?
No? Sounds good to me.
Okay. Maybe you should come then. So the actual cost for this, I think I didn't write it down here, but I think I do know what it is because I just paid for it the other day. $19.75. That includes tax, tip, and the donation to the MS Society. And if anyone is interested for sign up for this, all you have to do is go to meetup.com/meatlessmeetup to RSVP and to register. Is that all the time I have for events? Yes. Okay. Moving on. We wanted to talk about the membership drive. It's currently happening here at Vancouver Cooperative Radio for one more week. We are pushing for your donations, please. We totally rely on listener donations to keep this station on the air. And I just wanted to remind you that we do. Now, do we have someone answering the phones right now, or is that me? I just want to clarify that because I'm not sure.
Yeah, people are here answering the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so then please do give us a call while I'm talking to you at 604-684-8494 if you would like to make a tax-deductible donation to Vancouver Cooperative Radio in the name of Animal Voices to keep our show on the air. We do need to raise $1,000 a year to keep our show on the air, and that's to bring you the quality programming. I think it's very high-quality programming. I know that Alyssa and I put a lot of time into planning our shows every week, and we really do try to give you a lot of varied and quality programming on the topics of animal rights issues and the vegan lifestyle. Another way to donate is by going to coopradio.org and then clicking on donations there at the top of the page. And when you donate through there, you get a tax-deductible donation for any amount because you're doing it through Canada Helps. If you do it through the station, though, they do require a minimum of $25 for a tax-deductible receipt. And I wanted to mention as well that we do have some incentives that we are going to be putting all of our donors for the membership drive. And our goal for today is to reach $200, by the way. And that'll help us. We reached that goal last week, which is wonderful. And if we reach that goal this week, I'll be very happy about that. And then we've got next week as well. So we do have five wonderful gifts that we'll be drawing for all of our donors. And what they are, we have two gift certificates for a Gorilla Food raw vegan restaurant in Vancouver. We have a gift certificate for Eternal Abundance, raw vegan restaurant in Vancouver.
And also organic produce as well.
Mm-mm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay, because they are a grocery store as well. And that's mm-hmm. fantastic to know. We have a copy of Becoming Vegan by Vincento Molina and Brenda Davis, which is like basically the vegan nutrition Bible. And it's a very good reference to have if you have any nutrition questions. We have the Inspired Vegan book by Bryant Terry is his name, right? And I think Alyssa can attest that that's a really cool book that she's had the opportunity of trying out.
Healthy soul food, sort of. Seasonal ingredients, creative recipes, mouth-watering menus. I adore Bryant Terry's cookbook. So, yeah, that one's... And even if you're not into cooking, it makes a great gift.
It's just good reading material. I just like to read my cookbooks, really.
That is something I do not do.
Anyways, I just wanted to mention that all of the shows on Co-op Radio are produced by volunteers. We're all volunteers here. I've mentioned before that this is one of my passions, and I think it's a passion of yours too, Alyssa. You can speak to that. I mean, you gave a beautiful talk last week about why co-ops are important to you. For me, it's important for me to give my time to this radio station because it's a way for me to give outreach to the public on issues that I think are super, super important in our society that otherwise will get looked over if we don't have them on the air here on Co-op Radio. And those are on issues of animal rights topics that don't get covered by the mainstream media, and on issues of the vegan lifestyle, which are getting covered more and more through mainstream media, which is awesome. Maybe we won't need to have our show. My dream is that the show would be picked up maybe by we appreciate our listeners and everything, but I just want everyone to be able to listen to the show. So another way that you can help us out is just by sharing the show with people and sharing our podcast at animalvoices.org after airing with people and letting everyone you know about the show, because we're not in this for the money. We're not in this for the fame. Are you in it for the fame, Alyssa? I don't think you are. I grew up
as a bit of a performer, so it is part of performing for me, but
I think in our activism we all have to find our niche. We all have to find what we're good at and apply our skills to that. For me, I believe my calling is to be on the radio. I did radio actually for another nonprofit radio society many, many years ago, and I've come back to it now full circle, doing something that I really, really enjoy doing. It combines several of my passions: communication, education, talking, I love talking, and educating on animal rights issues and vegan lifestyle. I could talk about vegan food endlessly and animals as well. So those are all my interests. So please call 604-684-8494 if you'd like to make a donation via a real life person, or go to coopradio.org and click on donations. We really appreciate your support. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for that, Allison.
East Side Story on Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. Listen and reason with Aisha every second Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. Lend your ears and thoughts on topics such as humanitarian issues, social justice, activism on homelessness, poverty, injustice here at home in Canada and around the globe. East Side Story comes to you every second Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. on Co-op Radio 100.5 FM.
Odigbere,
Odiboshe,
Odigbere o,
Odiboshe,
Odigbere o,
Odiboshe.
Odigbere.
We're going to share a song with you now from our Thanksgiving potluck from Robin Rebecca. I don't remember the name of the song, but it's a bit of an anarchist anthem, and it leads into our next interview. Oh, and the sound quality is kind of terrible, but we feel that it comes through. You can hear Robin's words and her heart. And of course, yes, this is recorded live at a potluck. Also, there's a little bit of language at the end of the song, which I think is contextual and is the artist's message. If you're sensitive to that, then turn off the radio. And And now joining us on the phone is a woman named Shannon, who's going to talk to us about the upcoming Animal Liberation Forum. This is happening in California on the weekend, November 16th to 18th. Hi, Shannon. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So first, what is the Animal Liberation Forum, and how did it come into being?
The Animal Liberation Forum started in the spring of 2009. It was organized by the Cease Animal Torture Group at Cal State Long Beach, and it has evolved over the years. The first year was kind of small, and it just gets bigger and bigger every year, and we have more and more interest every year. And it's a conference that focuses on the more radical aspect of the animal liberation movement, like the importance of underground actions within our movement, as well as just legal above ground grassroots activism, things more like neighborhood demos and things like that.
And what makes this event in particular stand out from other national conferences like the Animal Rights National Conference or Taking Action for Animals?
I think that this conference stands out from the other conferences a little more because we have local, not as well-known people who have things to say that are just as important and just as powerful as the larger conferences, but they oftentimes, and I love all of the national conferences that happen, but oftentimes lesser-known people don't get the opportunity to speak.
Mm-hmm. And so you say your conference started pretty small. I'm wondering, how many people do you expect this time?
Last year we had between 200 and 300 people, and we are expecting to have about the same turnout this year. But since we have had so much more interest this year, we're thinking that we could get as many as 350 to 375.
Nice. And I just wanted to learn a little bit about the organizing group here. What is Cease Animal Torture?
Cease Animal Torture is the animal rights group at Cal State Long Beach. I'm actually not a student at Cal State Long Beach. I'm just helping organize this event. As far as I know, Cease Animal Torture is a group that focuses on bringing animal rights issues to more of the forefront at Cal State Long Beach and then also within the community of Long Beach as well.
Nice. So from the list of groups and presenters getting involved this year, I see that there's a lot of interconnections with other oppressions. I see on the list represented racism and queer rights and feminism. Can you tell us about that aspect of the forum?
Yeah, definitely. Myself and all of the other organizers are firm believers in the interconnections of oppression, and we believe making the parallels clear between human oppression and animal oppression is a really important tool that we can use to help save animal lives as well as improve human lives as well. So we did want to get as many speakers as we could who were not just single issue animal rights advocates. We wanted feminists. We wanted queer activists, because we're all feminists and most of us are queer and we're all anarchists, and we really wanted to, since it is a conference focusing mostly on the radical aspect of the animal rights movement, we wanted to show the radical aspect of other movements too, to try and build bridges between our movement and other movements.
Mm-hmm. I see on the list of groups that will be there, I know they're not all confirmed yet, but there is a lot of sort of anarchist groups mentioned in there. There's also, well, Vegan Outreach, who we were just talking to on the phone, and the Food Empowerment Project, groups I wouldn't tend to associate with anarchism, and that I kind of like how the... It seems like there's such a broad range of groups involved.
Yes, we do want everyone who wants to be a part of the conference to come and be able to share their platform with the attendees of the conference. And we love Vegan Outreach. We think they do such great work. I think as far as ending animal enterprises and the food industry, vegan outreach is the key. I think that's the most important thing that you can do.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, do you know if this event was inspired by similar events around the country? I myself haven't heard of other events like this, but I imagine they must be happening.
I have never heard of an event quite like this one. I don't get out much, so there could be other, I'm sure there are other events like this going on in the country. I know that we kind of tried to model it after anarchist events that happen in our area, because we like how many different groups and organizations are there and how many different kinds of presentations you can hear, and we kind of wanted this event to be like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a bit about what you're looking forward to personally, like speakers and workshops?
I'm personally really looking forward to Jennifer Bundock from One Fight. I'm looking forward to her presentation. It's going to be about anarcho-feminism and its relation to animal liberation. And I'm also very excited to hear my good friend Kevin Olaf's presentation. He's a former political prisoner, and he's going to be talking about the fur industry.
Mm. Nice. And the workshops listed there, I know there's just four so far that I saw. Can you tell us a bit about the workshops?
Yes, Lauren Ornelas is going to be doing her workshop on the Food Empowerment Project, obviously. And food justice is such a broad topic. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see what she's going to cover. We have Jan Smith, who's going to be talking about, we sat down and figured all of these workshops out last night, and I slept since then, and I'm already blanking. But I do believe he's going to be talking about the history of Hunt Sab in the UK. Someone is going to be talking about Hunt Sab.
What is that?
Hunt sabotage, when you, I actually don't know very much about it other than it's sabotaging hunting trips for hunters. I'm looking forward to learning more about it.
Interesting.
It's a good thing we're having the workshop.
Yeah.
And then there's also going to be a panel about queer perspective on animal liberation, which is going to be more of a discussion so we can bring, you know, queer issues into the forefront of the animal liberation movement, because they often get overlooked.
Yeah, and I saw another one, Know Your Rights, Legal Training and Advice for Activists. That sounds pretty key.
That one we're really excited about. I've seen this particular lawyer who has asked that we don't attach their name to this, because I guess they're like a real lawyer. I've seen the lawyer who gives this talk, this workshop before, and they are absolutely amazing, and I learned so much. And I've been to several Know Your Rights workshops. I've given security culture workshops myself, and I received so much information from this person that I don't know where else I would have gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
So that one we're really excited about as well.
Awesome. Now, the question kind of burning on my mind is, how do you do a conference like this? How do you offer it free to the public? That's pretty amazing.
Well, we were fortunate enough to get funding from the school, and I'm not too sure about how much we got, but it was a considerable amount of money, so that we were able to get rooms, and we're going to be able to give some of our speakers money to come and speak, because some of them have to travel pretty far distances. But we also operate a lot on donations. So we have some money left over from last year from donations that we're putting into this year's workshop, and all of the food that will be at the conference will be donated.
Nice.
And food not bombs will be there, of course.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. That's great. And so you are still looking for speakers and organizations and musicians and artists, is that right?
Yes, today is the deadline. if you go on, although we might extend the deadline, I'm not exactly sure. If you go on the event page on Facebook, which is unfortunately the only official web presence we have of the event currently, it'll have a link to the application to fill out. I'm sorry, what was that?
I was just going to say, how can people find that on Facebook? Just
If you type in Peace Animal Torture Presents 2012 Animal Liberation Forum, it should pop up.
Nice. And you said there's applications there from that page?
Yeah, there will be a link to the application.
Nice. And I noticed also there's going to be some music and art there. Can you talk a bit about that aspect?
We do have some music lined up. We're still in the process of booking some artists. We're not actually sure if that's going to be a major part of the event, unfortunately, but we are trying to work on making it a bigger part of the event. But as far as entertainment, I'm personally really excited that we're going to have Edge with the Dreads. And we're also going to have Mike XBX and Stress Case, which is a great female-fronted hardcore band. And this woman named Laura Rome, who writes some of the best songs on a banjo I've ever heard in my life.
Nice. You mentioned Mike XVX. We didn't quite have him on the show, but we did talk about his Open the Cages tour, which I guess he'll be speaking about at the workshop as well.
Yes, he will. I'm very excited about that.
That was where they... maybe you can describe it better than me.
they went on a tour, like a band would go on a tour, but they had Carl, I can't pronounce his last name.
Orzechowski? Orzechowski, I think, yeah.
That one. Yeah. a very gifted filmmaker either which way. They had his film, Maximum Tolerated Dose, which they did screenings of in every city, as well as have a show. And then in every city that they went to, they did an anti-vivisection demonstration, mostly at universities. But it was, I think it was a great way to meld the fun part of being vegan and animal rightsy, which is shows and awesome documentaries, with the truly important part of being an activist, and that's actual effective activism.
Yeah, sounds really, really inspiring. I'm very inspired by that project, and I'd love to hear him talk more about it. We should probably actually have him on the show. I noticed also on the list that there's at least one Vancouver group going to be there, that's the Black Paw Print Collective, Vancouver's newest animal rights group. They're an anarcha feminist collective devoted to total animal, environmental, and human liberation through direct action. So they'll be down there. That's exciting. And was there any other highlights that you wanted to mention, Shannon? Or things that people need to know?
We're talking to a couple more speakers. I can't name any names yet, but they're big, trust me. and we're trying to see if they can work getting out to the conference into their schedule and make sure that all the legalities work out and everything, because everyone has all of these restrictions these days. But everyone should stay tuned for more speakers, and always more bands will be booked. And if your organization is at all interested in tabling or anything like that, please contact us. Our email is animalliberationforum@yahoo.com.
Nice.
Myself or one of the other organizers will get back to you immediately.
Perfect. And I'm just kind of curious, what do you recommend for accommodations? Just, what do you recommend?
As in hotels?
Yeah, just sort of where should people maybe think about staying if they go down there?
I would say in the Long Beach area. There is actually a Motel 6 that's walking distance from where the conference is going to be.
Nice.
So I would stay there. It's on 7th and PCH. So
sounds good.
That's walking distance.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for letting us know about this awesome event coming up. I know I'm thinking about it. Maybe I don't exactly have the money to get down there, but I really, really would love to be there. And I hope that our listeners are inspired to go as well. So thank you so much for your time, Shannon. I hope it goes amazingly well. And if we don't see you down there this year, maybe next year.
Well, thank you so much for having us. And for everyone who's listening, I just wanted to reiterate the most important thing that you can do is be active and do something to help animals, because we can have all these great beliefs and that's wonderful, but it doesn't mean anything to animals unless we're actually going out there and helping them. So I just wanted to leave everyone with that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have
bye-bye.
A good day.
You too.
Bye.
Alyssa, speaking of just being active for the animals, I'm thinking of the Vancouver Animal Advocacy Camp that's coming up that sort of reminds me of what this is like. It's very grassroots. It's practically free. It's being run on a shoestring budget, and it's coming up next February. So
yeah.
I'm actually helping organize that, and actually we'll be starting a Facebook group soon so that people can connect before the conference, and then afterwards as well we'll have a means of sort of keeping connected throughout the year of just general stuff to do, like if you've met people at the conference and that. It's called an unconference, which is why I really like it, because the people at the conference or the unconference are the ones that make the schedule. You were there last year, or this year.
There,
I missed it this year, but
yeah,
I went. I was there the first year.
It was really, really good. I love the format as well, just that, you know, the board is open at the beginning of the day, and there's probably about 7 or 8 or 10 different places that people can meet, and then you just write what you want to talk about on a piece of paper, you put it up on the board, and then people who are interested in that go to that space at that time.
And it's a super effective way as well as in running a type of event like this that you would think would take lots of money, lots of time, lots of organization. There certainly is time and organization put into it, but not nearly as much, I would think, as an official conference. So if people out there listening, be inspired, put on your own unconference, your own animal liberation forum. It doesn't have to take a lot of money, which is usually what animal advocates don't have very much of, because we're always acting for the animals, which doesn't usually pay a whole lot.
So just
be inspired by knowing that you can do it for free as long as you have the interest and the time to invest in it.
Yeah, and another a great thing that came out of that event was I love the paper bags. I hope they do that again. So if you're interested in doing a particular action, or like, you know, you're interested at presenting at schools or leafleting or taking on a particular law with the city or something like that, you just put a little paper bag. Everyone who's interested in getting involved in that particular thing helps out. So yeah, it is in February. It's a little ways away. But if people want to help, help the organizing committee get
it's
in
Liberation
touch.
Liberation BC who's putting it on. So you can contact them, liberationbc.org, or even just contact me, radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, Allison. And I'm sure I can direct you into the right direction for that.
Yeah, and time to start thinking about which workshop you're going to lead next year.
Yeah, Alyssa.
Yeah. Okay, I am. I did last year. I did a little one. It went well.
You mentioned that. Right.
So I will remind everyone that it's our membership drive. We need lots of new members. That's you. 604-684-8494. That's the number. You've heard it a few times. You probably memorized it. It's time to actually call that number. We are here in the studio waiting for you. We'll be here after the show to take your call, and no amount is too small. Monthly sustainers, $5, $10, $20 a month. You don't really feel that too much. Annual membership, whatever you want, or a one-time donation.
And a membership is actually interchangeable with a donation at Co-op Radio. They're the same thing. So if you're thinking membership versus donation, just know that they're the same thing. You will get a tax receipt.
Yeah, and Co-op Radio is its members. We are nothing without members. We need you to come join us.
And cooperative.
Yeah, and what you're doing when you join is that you're supporting Vancouver's Co-op Radio and helping keep Animal Voices on the air. And of course, with your help, we can keep working to pull back the curtains to expose cruelty and to give a platform to the myriad of people working locally and internationally tirelessly to help animals. And without individual supporters like you, our show couldn't continue. And as a member, you get the satisfaction of knowing that you're helping to keep our community's independent media thriving. You're lifting up the platform so Vancouver can tell its own unique and colorful stories and struggles. I love Co-op Radio. I love co-ops. It is co-op week, and I am feeling the love today. I work at another co-op for my paid job, and I volunteer here, and I'm a member of a bunch of other local co-ops. And Co-op Week in Canada is an opportunity for Canadian cooperative members to celebrate the fact that they've collectively helped build this country and to recognize their continuing contributions at home and abroad. So yay for co-ops. It's 604-684-8494. Our goal today, again, is $200. Every little bit helps. And we are doing a big donor draw with the prizes we mentioned, restaurant gift certificates, and a couple books.
You have a pretty good chance of winning, too. Let's just say that.
Yes, let's say that. So, that's it. Thanks for calling. We will talk to you soon.
And you have been listening to the Animal Voices radio show on 100.5 FM Co-op Radio in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Next week on the show, to celebrate World Vegan Day, which is coming up soon, we'll have registered dietitian Ginny Messina on the show to answer all of your vegan nutrition questions. So if you have any questions you would like to have answered on the show related to vegan nutrition, please send them now to us at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com, and we'll do our best to get them answered for you next week. Also on the show for World Vegan Day will be Camille Labchuk, who is a Green Party leader and law student who resides in Ontario. She will be speaking to us about the case she made to the Ontario Human Rights Commission earlier this year to make veganism a considered human right in the eyes of the law. So we here at Animal Voices modestly ask you to keep connected with the Animal Voices show via the World Wide Web. You can do so by signing up for our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. Join us on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. And please do send us your suggestions and comments about the show, either on Facebook or via email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. Also, please do check out our website, animalvoices.org, where our shows can be downloaded from. We are leaving you with a song called Natalie's Song from the album called We Must Look Like Monsters. This is by Mike XVX, a performer at this year's Animal Liberation Forum. He will be speaking at the forum about the Open the Cages tour, which he orchestrated earlier this year. Stay tuned now for Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith. Thank you so much for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Sociable and charming, you taught humans to be kind. Rescued from a slaughterhouse is where you lived your life. We awoke one morning to find that you were sick. Though just last night you showed no signs of illness, now it shows. And I lost a friend today. We say goodbye to you, sweet pea, and carry on your name. And I sit together, remember your friends. And I relive all those memories again. Humans come to realize that turkeys are your friends. Supposed to grow to 12, but 3 years is all you live. You have problems with your joints and problems with digestion. Problems brought from breeding for massive food production. And though we gave you a good home, we'll keep you in our hearts. We'll show them they were wrong. And I